أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And now I bear witness and give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him, and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds, and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin, and be with those who are the truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Truly the best of words are the words of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best guidance is the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent through His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He asks us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuhal insanu ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. O human being, what has distracted you from your Lord the most beneficial? Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, as we mentioned last week, that we would like to give some attention to Jesus, Isa, Ibn Maryam, alayhim as-salam, to his mission and to what we as Muslims should take away from these as lessons. And so we begin, inshallah ta'ala, in continuing with this topic, Isa ibn Maryam alayhim as-salam. Isa, the son of Mary. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Ameen. Now, the bulk of Isa alayhi salam, the bulk of his message to Bani Israel, the children of Israel, was to warn them about the dunya. More than anything else, this was his constant reminder. Over and over again, whether by parable or miracle, he was constantly warning them about the dunya. Primarily because of all people, their history of having a thirst for this life was insatiable. As Isa ibn Maryam, alayhi as-salam, he said, I think about the creation and I found that what is not created is happier than those who were created. And he would often say, none of the creation will reach the reality of faith, yaqeen, until he does not worry about his food in the dunya. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again I remind you, as I remind myself, that it was the mistrust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the part of Bani Israel that caused him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to sever his blessing upon them. As they wandered in the desert and they were desperate for food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them manwa wa salwa, manna and quail. And he promised them, this will always come down to you on one condition. That you not try to save any part of it for the next day. It'll come down from heaven, from Jannah, to you. Always fresh. Every day. As long as you don't try to save any part of it for tomorrow. And what did they do? They tried to cram every crevice and cranny with that they could with that manna and quail after they had eaten. And of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused it to rot when they found it the next day and cut them off. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this was because of their lack of faith, and as Isa alayhi salam he said, worrying about the dunya. Again he said, never, this is Isa alayhi salam speaking, never will the love of the dunya and the love of the hereafter live together in the heart of the believer. Just like water and fire can never dwell in the same pot. And Isa, alayhi salam, he said, the one who seeks the dunya is the same as the one who looks to drink the water of the sea. Although when he drinks the water, it quenches his thirst for the moment, but then causes him to be more thirsty until he drinks more and it kills him. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, regarding Isa alayhi salam, one of the famous muhaddiths of Islam recounted and chronicled most of his life. And amongst his reports was that once Isa alayhi salam, as was his habit, was walking through the land. And he so happened to be accompanied by one of Bani Israel, a Jew. Now during their journey, Isa alayhi salam, he suggested they stop and partake in a meal. He said to this Jew, Would you like that we break bread together and share what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each of us with of provisions? Of course, said the Jew. And so they laid out the table spread for themselves, you know, a blanket, and pulled out their provisions that they had carried. And the Jew noticed that Isa alayhi salam only had one loaf of bread while he had two. Immediately, he regretted that he had agreed to share their food. So as it was Isa alayhi salam's habit, before they would eat, he would go off and make two raka'at. As soon as he went to pray, the Jew ate up his other loaf of bread, stuffing it in his mouth and swallowing it all before Isa returned. So Isa alayhi salam came back, he laid down his staff, and right away he asked the Jew, what happened to the other loaf of bread? What other loaf of bread? I only had one. And so Isa alayhi salam, he silently just looked at the man and made no comment. Ate what was there of the provisions, and once they finished, they continued walking. Later, the next day, they came upon a man who was born blind. Isa alayhi salam, he said to him, if I cure your blindness, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, will you thank him? Will you give shukr? I want y'all to pay attention to this. Isa alayhi salam, he looked for no reward. He only asked the man to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he say in the Holy Quran? La in shakartum la azidannakum. Again, la in shakartum la azidannakum. If you are thankful, I will give you more. Now the man was blind. And upon hearing this, he said, of course, by all means. And so Isa alayhi salam, he laid down his staff, placed his hands on the man's eyes, and began to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah cured the man of his blindness. The Jew was amazed. And he was looking with shock, making sure that the man could see, you know. And Isa alayhi salam, he turned to him and he said, by the one who has allowed you to witness this blind man regain his vision, what happened to your other loaf of bread? By Allah, said the Jew, I only had one loaf of bread. So Isa alayhi salam, he remained silent, and they continued their journey. Soon they came upon a man who was paralyzed from the neck down. And Isa alayhi salam, he asked him, if I heal you by Allah's permission, will you thank him? By all means, of course, exclaimed the man. And so, Isa alayhi salam, he supplicated to Allah on the man's behalf, touching him with his staff. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the man to stand straight up, removing all of his affliction. The Jew stood by with his mouth agape. And Isa alayhi salam, he turned to him. He said, by the one who has allowed you to see a man be cured of his blindness, and by the one who has allowed you to witness a man paralyzed being restored to his health, what happened to your other loaf of bread? I swear, said the Jew, I only had one loaf of bread. So Isa left it there, and they continued on. And they came to a field, sorry, they came to a riverbank, wide in its breadth and deep. And Isa alayhi salam, he said, look, I don't see a bridge or a boat. So take hold of my clothes and place your foot where you see I have placed my foot. The Jew agreed. And Isa alayhi salam, stretching his staff forth, head out straight over the water's face, walking upon it. And the Jew followed. Once they had reached the other side, the Jew looked back in shock. Shocked that he had not Isa, but he had walked on water. Isa alayhi salam saw the look on his face and he said, by the one who has allowed you to see a man cured of blindness, and a man healed of paralysis, and by the one who let you walk across water, tell me, what happened to your other loaf of bread? By Allah, said the Jew, I only had one loaf of bread. And Isa alayhi salam, he left it there, and they continued. They came upon a herd of gazelles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed Isa alayhi salam to seize one of them, and he slaughtered it and roasted it, and they feasted upon the gazelle's meat. Once they had finished their meal, Isa alayhi salam, he struck the remains with his staff, saying, stand, bi-idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And instantly the gazelle resumed its former shape and bolted away. Alhamdulillah, said the Jew. And he said, turn to him. By the one who has allowed you to witness the blind to regain sight, the paralyzed to regain strength, the water to be firm under your feet, and the gazelle to nourish you with its meat. What happened to your other loaf of bread? And so Isa left it there. So they walked on along, came upon a shepherd tending to cattle. And it had gotten later in the day, and so hunger had visited them again. So Isa alayhi salam, he called to the shepherd, asking him to slaughter a calf for them. The shepherd, seeing them and recognizing the manner in which the Jew was dressed, he said, why don't you have your Jew come do it? Let him come and slaughter it. I'll give it to you, but he'll do it. And so, Isa took no offense and agreed. And so the Jew, he slaughtered it, skinned it, returned it, and began to roast it. And the shepherd joined them. As they ate, Isa alayhi salam, he cautioned them. He said, make sure don't break any bones. And so they complied, and they ate. And as soon as they had eaten their fill, Isa alayhi salam, he gathered the bones, put them back into the skin that had come off the body, and struck it with his staff, saying, stand bi-idhnillah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as before, the calf resumed its former shape and stood looking on, unblemished and unharmed. The shepherd looked and he said, who are you? Said, I am Isa, the son of Mary, alayhim as-salam. The shepherd was not convinced. And he grabbed his calf and he said, no, you're Isa the magician, and he ran. But the Jew was still amazed. And Isa turned to him again. Allah, the one who has allowed you to witness this, what happened to your other loaf of bread? And again the Jew swore, there was only one. So by nightfall they had reached a village. And once Isa alayhi salam had took his rest, the Jew seized the staff of Isa and head into town, saying to himself, now I am the one who can heal the sick and restore the dead. So it just so happened that this village had a king who was very ill, and all of the villagers loved him. But they were sure that he was going to die. And no matter what they did to heal him, no matter what doctor had tried to cure him, no matter what person had recommended who knew something about medicine, it all failed. But this Jew had been going through the town saying, "Bring out your sick. Let them be healed. I will cure them." And he came to learn about the king. And he said, "Let me see him. I am certain that I will cure him. And even if you think that he is dead, I will bring him back to life." Now the townspeople warned him, "Look, everybody has done all that they could for him. What makes you think you can do any better?" He said, "Look, trust me." And they did. So he made his way into the king, who was stretched out upon his bedding, looking gray and close to death. The Jew raised his staff, saying, "Stand by the permission of Allah," and whacked the king and killed him. The townspeople were shocked, but not any more than the Jew, and he panicked. So he began beating the dead king. "Stand by the permission of Allah, stand!" The townspeople were enraged, and they grabbed him and drug him out into the street. And the word spread that the king was dead and this Jew had killed him. And so the cry began to raise, "Kill him! Burn him! Crucify him!" And all that the Jew could do was wail and say, "Jesus! Jesus! Save me!" أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina faman yahdihillah fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, when the word reached the people and they called for the death of this Jew, that finally it came to the ears of Isa alayhi salam. And he asked one of the villagers, and they said, "Some man with a staff killed our king. We're going to crucify him." He said, "Lead me to this man." And he did so. And he found the Jew strapped to a cross and the villagers preparing the nails. So he said to the leader among them, "Look, if I can bring your king back to life, will you spare this man?" The leader shrugged and felt he had nothing to lose. Said, "Okay." And so Isa alayhi salam, he called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, begging him to restore life to the king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did so. And thus the Jew was rescued and the king resurrected. "O Isa," cried the Jew, "you have done what no one else would have ever done for me. By Allah, I deeply appreciate this. I will never leave your side." Isa looked him in the eye and he said, "Look, I beg you in the name of Allah, the one who restored life to the gazelle and the calf, even though we had eaten them, Now by the one who revived this dead king and rescued you from death, what happened to your loaf of bread? The Jew, in the most sincerest tones, looked Esau in the eye and he said, I swear to you, I only had one loaf of bread. Okay, Isa alayhi salam replied, and he left the matter alone for the time being. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Isa alayhi salam continued their journey until they came upon the ruins of a vast city. As they traveled passing through, they came upon three large bricks of gold. So large that it looked impossible for one man to move just one of them by himself. The Jew was overcome with desire. And Isa alayhi salam turned to him and he said, see those bricks of gold? The Jew said, yes, they are yours. The Jew almost bolted and Isa grabbed him and he said, I'm sorry. Actually, one brick belongs to me, and one brick belongs to you. And the last brick belongs to the one who ate that third piece of bread. The Jew said, I did it. When you were praying, I ate the third loaf of bread. And Isa alayhi salam, he said, well, in that case, all three of them are yours. And Isa alayhi salam turned to continue his journey. The Jew was confused. And he tried to move one of the bricks, couldn't budge. No matter what he did, using all of his might, couldn't move it. And he saw Isa alayhi salam getting further and further away. Finding Isa alayhi salam, he turned to him, he said, look, leave it. Soon, there will come a people to fight over this. Leave it. Come with me. It was a hard thing for the Jew to leave that gold where it was. But seeing that he couldn't move it anyway, he decided to follow Isa alayhi salam down the road. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, just as sure as the sun rose the next day, three men happened upon the ruins of the city, and they discovered the treasure of gold. With might and main, they tried to budge it to no avail. So finally, two of them, they said to the third of their companion, look, why don't you go into the city, village nearby, grab us some food and water, and bring back a couple of mules so that we can move this gold. And he agreed. It wasn't long before greed got the best of the men. And they began to consult one another about what they should do with the gold. Finally, they decided, when their friend got back, they would kill him and divide the gold between themselves. And so it was not long before their friend returned, mules in tow, bags full of food and water. They thanked him, they took the supplies, and they slit his throat. They didn't even bother burying his body. And they ate and drank, preparing themselves to have the strength to strap the gold to the mules. What they did not know was that their friend had poisoned the food and water with the aim to kill both of them and seize the gold for himself. And this is what happened, and it just so happened that this is what Isa alayhi salam found when he returned with the Jew to the ruins. three bodies, dead, near the treasure that they left. La ilaha illallah, said Isa alayhi salam. This is how the life of this world treats those who live for it. And so Isa alayhi salam, he supplicated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the most merciful to restore the lives of these men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did so. Once they had come to their senses and realized what had happened, they all fled the ruins in fear of the gold that they were willing to kill for. The Jews sat and watched in silence as the men went away. And then he turned to Isa and he said, please, please let me have this gold. Isa alayhi salam, he said, take it. But this will be all you will ever have in this life and the life to come. The Jew did not hear beyond take it. And he proceeded to strap the gold and harness it to the mules. The gold moved a single inch and immediately the ground beneath them turned to quicksand and swallowed him and his gold. And Isa alayhi salam, looking upon him, grabbed his staff and resumed his journey alone. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reminds us in his book, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. Surely intoxicants, gambling, divining with arrows seeking luck or decision are monsters crafted by shaitan. So strictly avoid them in order that you may be successful. Shaitan only wants to make you enemies of one another and create hatred between you with intoxicants and gambling and hinder you from the remembrance of Allah and from salah. So will you not then refrain and obey Allah and His Messenger? And don't go near them and fear Allah. Then if you turn away, you should know that it is our messenger's duty only to convey the message in the clearest way. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I mention these ayah because they are relevant. They're relevant to our story here today. You see, there is no greater humiliation than for your sins to be broadcast all over the world. Sins in which there is no shade nor shelter from. And wallahi al-azim, I felt an overwhelming sense of grief when the local news and national news broadcast one of our Muslim brothers proudly posing for the cameras, holding a $1 million check that he had won from the lottery, that he had won playing the lottery, that he had won gambling. The words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were not enough to stop him from gambling. Nor was his making Hajj enough to wash away the desire in his heart for this dunya. A desire so strong that it did not matter if it meant disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get it. And so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided that he, after playing the lottery, would win $1 million. But he did not know that that would be all that he would ever have in the dunya. Because not less than a month later, he was dead. And as his wife and his daughter and his brother sat before him eating dinner, he had no idea that someone had served him his last meal. And they thought, because the habit of the Muslim was to bury their dead immediately, the coroner would not check for foul play. And he didn't. They were right. And they put him in the ground and they cashed his check. But now today, on Friday, they are digging him up because someone in the family thought his death to be suspicious, and lo and behold, lethal amounts of cyanide were found in his blood. Now the whole world knows that this Muslim was killed, more than likely by another Muslim, over $1 million that he won playing the lottery. وَتُحِبُّ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمًّا. You love wealth with a violent passion. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he warns us, لَا تَنَاوُلُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall not attain piety, true faith, until you spend from what you love. And whatever good you spend, Allah knows. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, how many of our fellow Muslims have to die in shame as a warning to us before we change our ways? Do we really think that we are going to escape death in Allah's decree? Do we really think, oh, that ain't going to happen to me? So you've got a plan to beat Shaitan at his own game. When all millions before you have failed and all the messengers and the prophets have warned you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you can't win, you think you got it figured out. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create everything, including money? So why don't you believe him when he tells you the only way to make it grow is to give it back to him? Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remind us, as Jesus alayhi salam reminded those that he cured, La in shakartum la azidannakum. If you give, I will give you more. And in the Arabic, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, it's implied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what you give, I will restore and give better than what you gave. La azidannakum, I will give you increase. I'll make more of. This is his promise. But there's a warning in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he continues. It starts, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. And when your Lord announced, if you give, if you are grateful in giving, shakartum, thankful, la'azidannakum, I will give you more. But if you reject my promise, kafartum, deny it, surely the punishment, my punishment, he says, adabi, this is him speaking, my punishment is severe, shadeed. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you as Isa alayhi salam reminded his companions, O son of Adam, fear Allah wherever you are. And remember to live in this dunya like a guest. And make the masjids your home. Teach your eye to cry and your body to be patient and your heart to meditate. And don't worry about the provision of tomorrow, for this is a sin. Is that not the reason why when you're reminded to give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you pause? It ain't because you got millions in the bank that you don't want to give. You think, oh, well, if I give, then I might not have for X. I might not can't pay this tomorrow for Y or Z. That's the sin. That the opportunity is in front of you to do the good, to invest in where you know you're going. You know one day you will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know this, and I remind you as I remind myself that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about being questioned. What does that mean? If I ask you a question, I'm seeking some information. It's something I don't know. When Allah asks you a question, He already knows the answer. So really, the questioning is to put you on guard. Guess what's about to happen now? I already know what the answer is, so this is really perfunctory. We're just waiting for something to get a little bit warm. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I am only encouraging you to do what is wise, and that is invest with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make His face your ambition. Make His pleasure your goal. This masjid is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This masjid is the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This masjid is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no loss in sacrificing for this effort. And there is no greater reward or success. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وتوفنا من المسلمين ربنا أفرج علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله، إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون، وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، ولذكر الله أكبر.